Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to yet another conversation in the book of Luke. And we are on chapter number 11 in the book of Luke. And chapter 11, Caleb, in the book of Luke is a chapter that means a lot to me because it's one of the first chapters I studied years ago in Bible college in the Gospels. Hmm. And it's on the topic of prayer.
Right.
And you think about prayer in the Bible, I don't know if this is the way it is in your life, my friends, but prayer is one of those things that's so emphasized in the Bible and yet so difficult to practice in our everyday lives.
Exactly, yeah. Prayer is always one of those things where you never feel like you've arrived, and there's always, you know, ways for us to grow in our prayer life. And here we see one of the accounts of the example prayer of people sometimes call it the Lord's Prayer. I know you've mentioned before it should be more accurately described as the disciples' prayer, as an example that Jesus gave the disciples. But just a great insight into a model of things that our prayer should have in it.
And maybe the reason why we struggle praying is because the struggle really isn't praying. Mm-hmm. The struggle is faith.
Yeah.
We don't really believe that that someone's on the other end. Mm-hmm. That's the total lack of faith. But sometimes, you know, we believe in God, but does God really hear me? Does prayer really make a difference? Mm. And so I don't know if it's so much a prayer problem as it is a faith problem.
Yeah. It's sometimes you feel like you might be talking to a blank wall. And then sometimes you feel that spirit-filled prayer. And it's just, like you said, sometimes it's difficult to arrive at that place in the Christian life.
So as you mentioned in Luke 11, this is not the Sermon on the Mount, but it's another occasion where Jesus is saying very similar things as to what he said when he taught there at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 about prayer. But that stands to reason. If this is a theme in Jesus' ministry, then you would expect to hear similar messages on similar topics.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. And in Luke 11, when he starts out this chapter giving that example prayer, it really just sums up, in a nutshell, everything that Jesus has said about prayer in his ministry throughout this theme. And he has all of those components wound up into one prayer.
Yeah, it is. It's a good encapsulating passage. Let's dive into it. Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, so interestingly, Caleb, what began the entire conversation on prayer was the fact that Jesus was practicing.
Yeah, setting the example.
What he was about to preach. Mm-hmm. So he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So they saw something in the ministry of Jesus in private that was real, that was authentic. And they said, we want to pray like that. And John the Baptist obviously had emphasized this in his own ministry.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because when I think about this, you know, I don't know if as much of it is they have no idea how to pray at all. But when they see the power that is in the prayer that Jesus says, the disciples asking God, teach us to pray like that. Mm. We want a prayer that is full of your spirit. And it's convicting because sometimes, you know, I feel like I go to my prayer life and I already know what I'm supposed to pray. I already know everything that, you know, that needs to be said. But sometimes I need to sit back and say, God, what would you have me to pray? What is it that is evident in my life that I need to be bringing to you?
That's a really good thought. And I think the word that brings that out is teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Not just so much that John also taught, but as I prayed. Pray in that way. I love that thought. Mm-hmm. Verse 2, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we would call that, Caleb, the Lord's Prayer, as you mentioned before. And that's probably a misnomer, because the Lord would not have to pray about—
Forgive us our debts.
Right. The Lord did never sin. But it's a model prayer, isn't it?
It is.
And I don't want to break it all down today, because I did an entire lesson on this recently at church about the pattern of prayer. As a matter of fact, I've done a whole series on the Lord's Prayer. But let's just touch on the big points. So in the model prayer, where Jesus is teaching them, he's teaching them how to pray. I find it's interesting that the model prayer begins with praise and honor to God, to the Father.
And yeah, sometimes when, you know, I find in my own life, sometimes when I go to prayer, we are so quick to jump right into God be with this. God,
give
this is what
this.
I want. Give me, give me, give me. And we treat prayer almost like Jesus is that genie in the bottle and is grant this wish, grant this wish. And if we're not careful, sometimes I feel like we might not have a spirit-filled prayer or prayer life because we forget the person behind the prayer. We forget the power behind the prayer, and that's the person and of Jesus Christ and praying through his Spirit. And if we're not thankful, then, you know, we're not living out God's will for our life. It's for us to be thankful and to go to him. And I feel like a lot of times prayer just becomes more of a laundry list of things rather than a praise and worship time.
And think about it. Can we really see ourselves accurately? Of course, the answer is no. So when we begin our prayer time with a time of focus upon the Lord, upon our Father. First of all, he's our Father. So there is the relationship. He's in heaven. So there's his position of transcendence and power and authority. Hallowed be thy name. He's holy. Hallowed be thy name. That's his reputation. That's the quality for which he is known. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as in earth. It's all about God. It's about God. It's about his reputation. It's about his glory. It's about his will. It's about all of that. And I think as we focus upon the Lord, focus upon what he wants and what his pleasure is, what his will is, what his rightful authority ought to be in our lives, that's going to orient our thinking. And I think about Isaiah, Caleb, and you know, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up.
Yep.
That great vision in Isaiah 6. And it's interesting because when Isaiah saw the Lord, immediately then he saw himself. But he saw himself not as a great prophet, not as the stanchion of biblical doctrine at a difficult time in Judah's history. No, he saw himself as unclean, a man of unclean lips, because he had seen the Lord.
Yeah, that's great. And just, you know, with this model of prayer, it's, as you said, it just really puts things in perspective from the start of where we truly are at. And you pertain that to anything in life, whether it's sports or music or anything like that. We try to pride ourselves and we think we're better than we are. And then when we compare ourselves to a professional or somebody else, we're, oh, you know, I'm not where I need to be. And, you know, so I think it's just a great thing to start our prayers realizing where we really are, not where we like to think we are or where we present we're at to other people, but, you know, in all of God's glory, you know, where are we at?
I see two major differences in Bible prayers and the prayers we typically pray today. Okay, one major difference is prayers we pray today are typically about us. As you said, a laundry list of our grievances, our hurts, our pains, our gripes, our wants. It's about us. Bible prayers are about God. And then the second difference I see is even the part of the prayer that is the part of requesting. And prayer in its essence means to ask. So even the part of prayer that is asking, our prayers today tend to be asking for physical needs. And there's nothing wrong with asking for, I should say physical wants. There's nothing wrong with praying for everyone's physical need and everyone's healing need and all. There's nothing wrong with that. But Bible prayers centered on spiritual things. Mm. So look at the second part of the prayer where it says, give us day by day our daily bread. So yes, there's part of prayer that says, Lord, we know that our needs come from you. We know that you are the supplier. We know that if we're going to have what we need today, it's going to be from you. So there's the acquiescence really of who God is, but and what he provides. But look at verse 4, and forgive us, for we forgive everyone that's indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. The prayer here is a prayer of for forgiveness, for guidance in such a way that we won't be unnecessarily tempted, that we'll not sin, we'll be delivered from evil and from the evil one. I mean, these are spiritual priorities.
Right. Yeah, I just sometimes when I think of my own prayer life, it kind of puts me to shame a little bit. And, you know, if we develop a prayer life that is more spirit-filled and spiritual in nature rather than, you know, those lists that we talked about, you know, I think it's all encapsulated where when he starts out the prayer by saying it's not as my will, but thine be done. You know, and I think it's a good habit for us to get into at the very onset of our prayer saying, God, this prayer is not just for me. It's not all about what I want, but God, whatever you would have, allow that to happen. And have that humility to accept that some prayers that we will ask, God's not going to answer it exactly how we want it to. But if we go into this prayer saying, God, it's what you want, it's your will. And then once we get ourselves in that spirit, I mean, as he continues to pray, you just see from step by step. I mean, you think about your own prayer life. When's the last time I just spent an entire prayer just praising God, honoring God, all about God, what would you have me to do? God, help me with this temptation, not for me personally, but because I want to draw closer to you.
Prayer is not a means by which we change God. Sometimes people look at prayer as the means by which we're going to change God. Mm. Change God. God, you need to know about this.
Yeah.
as if he didn't know. And and you need to rethink this.
God,
and you need to see
solution.
This my way. Here are my solutions. That's good. But what I find very interesting in this prayer is, and I'll put it in my own words, Lord, forgive us just like we're forgiving other people. Mm. So disingenuous is that prayer that says, Lord, I want you to do for me what I'm unwilling to do for others.
Yeah.
You know, I'm unwilling to forgive. I'm going to harbor bitterness in my heart. I'm going to treat people poorly because look at how they've treated me. But Lord, I want you to give me grace and mercy.
Mm.
That's disingenuous. So built right into the model prayer is almost this checkpoint that Jesus gives us to say, don't ask for things that you're not unwilling to give yourself. I think a very similar verse is in 1 Peter, where God said, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. In other words, I think what the Lord says is, husbands, if you're unwilling to treat those in your life that are under your authority, that are under your direction, then why should I honor your request?
Hmm.
See, it's like the Lord says, if you're going to ask for it, then I expect for you to at least model the behavior that you're expecting.
Yeah, that's so convicting, you know, and just the humility that will bring upon you if, you know, we had the Spirit of God treat me like I treat other people. God, give me the same forgiveness that I give other people. And, you know, and it works both ways. As we pray that, it'll cause us to want to forgive people more, you know, and to have that forgiveness and that heart of Christ.
No, that's, you know, that, and that's so true. I hadn't thought of it from that perspective. That is so true. So my friends, here's my challenge today. My challenge is, why don't you take these verses, these three short verses, and break them down and pray? Maybe on your lunch break, or take some time apart from the busyness of your schedule, and treat each one of these clauses separately. Our Father, spend some time. Lord, I'm thankful that I have a relationship with you through Christ. That's why he's our Father, which art in heaven. Thank you for heaven. Thank you for your authority. Thank you for your transcendence. Thank you for the fact that you're sovereign, that you're in control. Lord, I want your will to be done in my life, the way it's done in heaven. I don't want there to be equivocation. I don't want there to be delay. I don't want to do it partially, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Take the model prayer, use it as a template for your own walk with God, and just see how God helps you to begin to become a better communicator with the most important person on the other end of the conversation, and that is God himself. So I hope that helps, my friends. We're out of time for today. Tomorrow, we'll look at the illustration that attaches itself to this teaching. I hope you'll join us. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.